after the last time, we read Matthew 16, and we stopped at verse number 19. We had some difficulty with that. By the way, we're glad that the internet is back. A couple Thursdays ago, it was gone and couldn't use it, and finally last Wednesday it came back, and so last Thursday was all right. So if there's any other problems, please let us know, 856-261-9018, or give us an email, questions@bnpbc.org. Talked to one of the ladies that's going to be listening tonight, and said, go ahead and give us a call. We had some people that called in, so also Dan has been able to repair the yellow box. That was out for a week or so. Probably do a better thing. It should be repaired by now. And Rob, you said you couldn't listen to it the other day. I think you can listen to the yellow box now. So Dan's just about ready to repair it, all right?
Well, the yellow box, the function, the mechanics of the yellow box works. I mean, there may be other technical problems with some audio that wasn't noticed, an audio problem, but the mechanics of the yellow box works, and then we've improved the sound with other links where we go directly to different services. Mm-hmm. But there may be some audio missing on some of these things, but they'll, right, as time progresses, the audio will return.
All right.
As we replace different.
So maybe the audio tonight will be there, maybe.
Audio tonight will be there. Nobody, I guess, yeah, we weren't. Audio will be there tonight.
Okay, good.
What did you say, one of your announcements in the beginning?
About the streaming is back.
No, it was something else. I don't know what it was.
What was it?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I just didn't hear it.
Anybody remember
the comments, or what was it about?
No, it was on the list of things, but I didn't hear it, because I was changing my watch.
I'm sorry, I don't remember what I did say.
Sorry, it doesn't matter.
All right, we're in Matthew chapter 16, and we stopped at verse 19 last time. Let's begin by reading verses 20. Oh, I did say, if anybody has any problems with the internet, well, let us know. Yes, Anna, go right ahead.
Dr. Wade, greetings to everyone there and watching live around the world. It's good to see Tammy back again after her surgery. Seeing you tonight is answered prayer by our great and wonderful God. Thank you for broadcasting. You are all in my prayers. Robinson
from
Albuquerque,
New Mexico. Robert, thank you for that email. Any others, Anna?
Not yet.
I said, okay, questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. All right, let's read verses number 20, 21, and 22 together. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from me, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. By verse 20, what does it mean to charge somebody with something? What does that mean?
Commanded.
On a credit card, is
commanded.
Commanded. It was charged in the sense of commanded.
Or sometimes to be warned.
Warned, to be warned, to be commanded, to be encouraged. What did the Lord Jesus command or encourage or charge his disciples in this verse 20?
Not to tell anyone who he was.
Not to tell anyone that he was Jesus the Christ. Jesus meaning what?
Messiah.
Jesus,
Savior.
And Christ meaning what?
Messiah.
Okay, so why do you suppose this is the case? Why do you suppose he did not want them to tell anyone that he was Jesus the Christ?
Wasn't time, I guess.
Probably that's one reason. Wasn't time. What else? Any other idea?
I thought that he would want to be king, and they would arrest him.
Maybe that could be the case, because if he was another king, the people said we have no king but Caesar. Remember at his crucifixion. So that could be. Any other ideas as why he did not want to live?
I think he explains it in verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to keep things confidential, so that he can reveal to them personally about how he's going to suffer, how he's going to die, mm-hmm, and how all these, the dynamic of the crucifixion and all these things are going to take place, particularly about the resurrection.
Now, because he didn't want his disciples to say to people that he was Jesus the Christ, does that mean he wasn't Jesus and he wasn't the Christ?
No,
it doesn't mean that at all. But just not to tell. Anna?
Well, I can tell, say to my mom something, like, you know, I might not want everyone to know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but that doesn't mean that my tour wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. So he wanted to keep it to the disciples, and did Pilate ask something along that line at the crucifixion truck? Did Pilate ask him about that?
Of the Christ.
What did the answer when Peter said in this chapter earlier, what do they say that I am? What did he say? What did Peter say?
The Son of God.
Absolutely. So, the disciples knew about it, but he didn't want them to be the bearers of that message. He himself could say certainly. But did he tell the woman at the well who he was?
I remember.
Remember the woman at the well?
Yes.
What did she say to the men of the city?
Tell me everything I knew.
Is not this the Christ?
He that speaketh unto thee am he.
He that speaketh am he. So he told the woman at the well he was the Messiah, the Messiah, which is the Hebrew the Christ. But then in verse 21,
doesn't this remind you of another time when Jesus healed the lepers, I believe it was? He said, "See that thou tell no man."
Yes.
But right. They all immediately went out and told everybody.
That's right. He wasn't trying to be a person that was magnifying himself, like some preachers and pastors and evangelists and TV people. So he was not pushing himself.
Sometimes you want to tell your own news when you want to tell it.
Oh, that's true.
And sometimes somebody bursts in and tells it before you're ready.
That's right. And the personal news or personal news likes to be personally told. All right, verse number 21. From that time, what does that mean? From that time forth, what does that mean?
From the time after he said that, tell no man.
Every minute after he said this, proclaimed by Jesus Christ, what did Jesus then tell and show his disciples?
About his suffering, about his passion.
First of all, that's right. Before he's going to suffer, he's going to do what?
Go to Jerusalem.
He knew he was going to go to Jerusalem. Secondly, as Aunt Tammy said, going to suffer many things. Of whom?
The chief priests.
Elders, chief priests, and scribes. Those three, especially. And then what's going to happen?
He killed, and then raised
the third day. So these are the predictions. What's going to happen? Now, how did the Lord Jesus know this was going to happen?
He's God the Son.
He's God, and that was the purpose that he came. He had to take on flesh and blood.
Purpose that he came, and as being deity, yes, the attribute of deity, this attribute was
omniscience.
So all knowing. He knew exactly. It's interesting. He knew the exact place he was going to go. He knew who was going to do this thing to him. He was going to suffer. He knew he was going to be killed. He knew he was going to be raised again. That's going to be in the third day. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights of the heart of the earth, or in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man 3 days and 3 nights of the heart of the earth. So he knew all these things. What does this word in verse 21? He must. What's that word mean? He must.
He had to.
Had to. Obligation. Definite. As Andrew said, purpose why he came. Someone has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The only way to seek and to save that which is lost is the crucifixion, dying in our place, shedding his precious blood at the cross for sinners. And that's why he must go, and he must suffer. And I think the must go is all these things. Must go, must suffer, must be killed, and must be raised again. All these three or four things. Then in verse number 22, what happened to Peter in this occasion? Now, but earlier, what did Peter say? Whom do men say that I am? And Peter said,
You are the Christ.
Was that a good thing to say or a bad thing?
Give it to him by the Father.
Was it good or bad to say?
It was good to say.
What about this thing? Was it good or bad to say?
Not
one.
Given to him by Satan.
This is by Satan. Very bad. He took him and began to rebuke him. Is it right to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ for anything?
No.
Never. Do some people rebuke God?
Some people do.
Yes. When things don't go well, sometimes they curse God. Why did God have this to happen? See, my mom or dad are sick or dying or some other reason, calamity or automobile crash. Is it ever right to rebuke God or the Lord Jesus Christ?
Never.
Never. He's the one that knows all. He's the powerful one. He brings things into our lives. He takes things out of our lives. He provides us and he protects us from some things that otherwise might happen. But never to rebuke What a horrible situation is it? What was he saying that he rebuked the Lord Jesus for? What was his rebuke in verse 22?
This isn't going to happen.
Be it far from me. What does that mean, be it far from me?
Never happened.
Rest the Lord Jesus Christ, call him Lord. This shall not be unto thee. What did the Lord Jesus say in verse number 21? He must. All these things. Must go to Jerusalem. Must suffer. Must be crucified. And must be raised again. Yvonne?
Well, Peter loved Jesus. He was a friend. And he just couldn't accept what was being said. It'd be like if someone that we love very much would tell us that what's going to happen to them, some terrible thing, and we'd say, this can't be. We can't believe this. This can't be. I don't think he was... I think he just cared for him so much he didn't want to accept it.
Is that an excuse for rebuking the Lord?
No.
No. The word for the word rebuke.
Is it the same what we say to people as to what we say to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, maybe not.
Unequal? Unequal?
No.
No.
But they're good friends.
I realize. But we cannot rebuke the Lord for any reason, any time, any place, anywhere. Though we may feel and friends of him, we don't want it to happen. He could have said, Peter could have said, oh, I wish it wouldn't happen, Lord. And, you know, no, he didn't say it. He said, be it far from me. This shall not happen. And the word rebuke, what does rebuke mean?
Blow someone out?
To criticize? Condemn? So he turned to him. Yes,
say, this is a continuation. Remember, just before the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, and it's recorded in Luke 18:32 and a couple of verses, that Jesus tells the 12, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitted, thundered, spitefully entreated, and so forth. He tells them that that's going to happen when they get to Jerusalem. But now, verse 34, and they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And here the Lord Jesus is telling them, as plain as he can make it, that he's going to Jerusalem and he's going to be crucified and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I think he even says he will rise from the dead. And but the meaning of all of that was hid from them. And I'm thinking about God can hide things in secret. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how God can, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can actually tell these men this as plain as day, and yet keep it as a secret from them. Mm-hmm. Now, why he did it that way, who knows? We don't know the mind of God.
Yes. Now, this statement that he revealed, that he must go to Jerusalem and be exposed by these people, the scribes and Pharisees, and die and be raised again. Did he say that just once in Matthew?
No.
At least two more times, I believe.
Yeah.
He repeats. And still, at the end of the time, they were amazed. They didn't think anyone was going to have like it. Yes, Amy?
Well, in chapter 20 of Matthew, he says something very similar. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and discourage and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, then...
One more time.
That came.
There's three times, I think, that he says the same thing. Now, when he said he's going to be betrayed, was Judas there when he said that?
Yes.
So Judas
knew, yes, he was there.
He was there. So he knew he was the betrayer. Yeah, huh?
Judas may not have known at this time he's going to be betrayed. But see, when people tell us bad news, it's hard to understand. Mm-hmm. And the mind naturally rejects some of it. And Jesus told a whole list of things here. And Peter probably couldn't comprehend the whole thing. And the other disciples were just as bad, but Peter spoke for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just only human beings.
Peter spoke good sometimes, but here he spoke bad sometimes. And then after the crucifixion, the resurrection, I go fishing. I mean, Peter's all over the map.
And right up to resurrection morning, they still had no idea. that Christ was going to rise again from the dead. What did Peter do? Oh, let's go fishing. Yeah. And nobody was at the tomb except Mary Magdalene came, and then. But this thing was hid from them, even though the Lord Jesus had told them several times.
People do that to us today. We tell them, and they can't comprehend it.
That's right. So after Peter rebuked the Lord, did the Lord just take it, and was he quiet about it?
No.
Now, sometimes when people rebuke us, sometimes we answer back, sometimes we're quiet and just take and receive it. The Lord Jesus did not receive it from Peter. It says he turned. What does that mean? He turned in verse
1. He looked at Peter and he turned around.
Apparently, Peter was not facing him, and he turned right at Peter, looked right at him. What did he do at the trial about Peter?
That very same thing.
Turned. What had Peter said three times?
He denied that he
did not. Did he do him at three different times? And he turned and looked at Peter. And what did Peter do?
Confederately.
So here again, he turned. This is the first time. Before this all happened, he turned and said to Peter. Now, what did he say to Peter? What does it mean?
Get thee behind me, Satan.
Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he's looking at Peter. He's talking to Peter. He's speaking to Satan. Why is he looking at Peter and speaking at Satan?
Satan's controlling him.
Satan's controlling him, aren't they?
Well, Satan would have done anything to keep Christ from going to the cross. So, I mean, this was a satanic suggestion mouthed by Peter to keep the Lord Jesus Christ from dying for the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm. Questions at vftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call, give us a question, say hello. Good to have you listening with us. Now, he rebuked him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, does that mean that Peter was indwelled by Satan at this point?
No.
Can saved people be indwelled by Satan?
No.
No.
But he might not have been saved.
Can people be influenced by Satan?
Yes.
Yeah,
We have to read verse 23, comment on it. We didn't read that yet. We read 20, 21, and 22.
Oh, we haven't read that. Okay, let's read 23, 4, and 6. Okay, go ahead. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art under the fence unto me, but thou sayest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. All right, Bill, we read that. Now we can go back to 22. Thank you for reminding us. Yes, Bob. And then they.
Peter wasn't saved.
Well, he was a follower of the Lord. I'm saying he was a disciple, and what I mean by saved, I mean he was certainly on the Old Testament way, he was trusting the Lord Jesus as
I don't know how many sacrifices he
made. He's our Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, he was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, disciple, he followed him. In that sense, he was like a Christian. I mean, he followed the Lord.
Yes, he's still under the law. I mean, unless you want to have the church starting, you know, sometime here in the New Testament, but it was still under the law. I would think it was still under the law. The ministry of the Spirit was different under the law, and I'm sure the influence of Satan perhaps was different under the law than it was under grace.
My definition of saved. Is that restricted to the New Testament?
No.
So what about the Old Testament saints? Were they...
Enoch
and Elijah were raptured out of here.
Were the Old Testament saints believers in the Lord? Were they... What do you call them?
They weren't saved like the New Testament.
Well, they're different.
They were righteous.
They were righteous under the law, and they were in heaven. They were taken to heaven based upon the fruit of the future.
Well, all through the scriptures, salvation has always been by faith.
Yes.
But faith as far as what had been revealed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ dying and shedding his blood and being raised from the dead at this time of Jesus' earthly ministry had not been revealed. But Peter's testimony was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That had been revealed.
Yes.
And Peter grasped it and believed it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saved. I mean, that would seem
right
to me.
Yeah, to me. Don't we call the Old Testament that are believers Old Testament saints?
Yeah.
Don't we refer to those Old Testament saints? In other words, so Adam first and Dan. Adam first and Adam.
Well, it's not whether we call them Old Testament saints or not, but whether we, being the Old Testament minister of the Spirit, he was temporary in the Old Testament.
Yes.
It's temporary. In the New Testament, it's more permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, in the Old Testament, and clearly in the New Testament, people could be oppressed by Satan or by demons that cannot be possessed. Now, the question is, in the Old Testament, was that somewhat slightly different? Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit was slightly different. Would the function of the oppression and possession of demons be different as well?
Okay, Anna.
About the idea of the Old Testament, I mean, throughout history, it's always been about Christ. It's always been about that time. That has always been about the sacrifice, and it's always been about Calvary, and that's why we have that's why we date things from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because before Christ and the era of war, that's our whole basis of time, and that's like how that's what's important, because people in the Old Testament were looking forward to Christ, and we look back to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether someone is saved or not, I think, is the what they believe about Christ, or that is what is important to their salvation. Not necessarily, though, sometimes we stumble and fall, but I mean, that doesn't mean we're not saved. I mean, David had some trouble with Uriah the Hittite,
mm-hmm.
and
Bathsheba and others.
But I mean, Peter denied the Lord, and of course there's always a debate. And there's been this debate, it seems, for some time about, Peter denied the Lord, was he saved? Can he be saved and deny the Lord, and so forth and so on?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when there's points of weakness of the flesh, where weakness of the flesh overcomes us, but that doesn't mean we're not saved.
Mm-hmm. All right, we don't like some of us the term saved for Peter, that's how you do it. Can we call Peter a Christian?
No.
No?
Well,
was he a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, or was he not?
Well, he was a Christian, but they were first called Christians at Antioch.
That's true.
Let's just call him a believer.
First called Christians, but was he?
Let's call him a saint.
Was he still a Jew?
Yes.
I know, but had he come to Christ, and was he a disciple of Christ?
You don't really know.
Follow me, I'll make it be ambitious. Well, let's think about it. I believe he was a Christian. I believe he was called saved, but if you don't want to call him saved, you don't want to call him a Christian.
If it wasn't the age of the church.
Well, but use the term. Was he a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ?
He was saint.
Okay. Was he a disciple of Christ?
A member of the Hall of Fame.
Okay. So he's a Was he a saint? Like the Old Testament saints?
I don't know. Yeah.
Was he called a saint? If the Old Testament could be called a saint, could Peter be called a saint? Yes. Vine and Dick.
Well, the Old Testament saints.
Questions of BFTBCL 8-5-6-3-6-1-9-0-1-8. Give us a call. What do you think about it?
When the Old Testament saints died, they didn't go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom.
Right, they went to paradise. That's right.
Very different in the Old Testament.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
When Jesus, and this Matthew's Old Testament, isn't it?
The
Jews until Christ died on the cross.
That's right. Yeah. Dick, go ahead, Dick.
No. What were we talking? Oh, I don't know. We could argue about who's a Christian, from now to doomsday, and we'd get nowhere if we don't know what we're calling a Christian. I mean, we have to have a definition of what we're saying as a Christian.
Right.
I mean, if we're saying that anybody that believes in Christ, such as they did in the Old Testament, in the earthly ministry of Christ,
mm-hmm.
If they believed what they had been revealed,
about Christ, and then they believed Christ was the Messiah, was the Christ, and then but then when the gospel comes in, the gospel of grace, and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he was died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and raised again the third day. Now that they couldn't believe on that before the crucifixion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now when you say Christian, then if you say that they believed in Christ at the level wherever they were and what part of it, what timeline they were, then okay. But of course the word was not used, as Anna said, until Antioch. Mm-hmm. And that was sometime much later than Christ's earthly ministry. Mm-hmm. And so it all depends on, you know, on what your definition of Christian is.
Can all of us agree he was a believer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a believer. Can believers be demon-possessed? Can believers be demon-possessed? No, they can't.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tammy's got something.
Dear Pastor Wade, hello and good evening to everyone. Thank you for tonight's Bible study. From Joe and Norma Fascio.
That's way to Joe and Norma, way over in California. Good. Anna's got something.
Believers cannot be possessed as of Pentecost.
How about before Pentecost?
Well, the Holy Spirit did not permanently indwell.
That's true.
It's hard to...
That's true.
I don't know. But is there any...
Jesus said to our Satan.
But here we have a rebuke of Satan, who was definitely influencing Peter in a very, very bad way.
Yeah, I think here the rebuking of Satan, as far as what Peter said, the Lord Jesus is rebuking what Peter said and calling that Satan. It wasn't that he was calling Peter Satan.
No.
It was the thought, the idea expressed that he should not go to Calvary. So he should not go through the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. That was the idea from Satan. And that's what Christ meant when he said, "Get thee behind me," or whatever it was called. What did he say? He wasn't calling Peter Satan.
No.
He was calling the thought, the idea Satan.
Satan.
Well, obviously, since Christ was omniscient, he knew what Satan was doing at that moment, and he knew that he was influencing Peter, and that the thought wasn't just coming into Peter's head, and it was a bad thought, but it was actually coming directly from Satan.
Yes.
I mean, and he wouldn't have said Satan if he was addressing Satan for a reason.
Well, later on, Jesus said to Peter, "Satan hath desired to sift thee."
That's right.
So evidently, there was a lot of satanic influence in Satan's and Peter's life.
Peter's life, absolutely.
He really wasn't saved at this point. If Jesus didn't die...
Oh, but he was a believer, though. He was a saint.
He was a believer.
Like the Old Testament.
No, I don't know him.
Supporting a Christian.
Matthew is supposed to be Old Testament.
All right.
Well,
he was a believer, though, was he not in Christ? Was he a Christian?
No.
You don't even agree on that? Okay. Was he a follower of Christ?
Yes.
Was he a disciple?
No.
Always true. Okay. You pick what you want. I'll pick what I want. I'd
probably follow Christ if he wasn't a believer.
Okay. Exactly. Yes, Rod. Go right ahead, Rod.
And that's right. I'm glad to see the folks stand in the scripture for the end.
Yes.
Good to see everyone here today, too. Even in the first epistle, in 1 Peter 4:16, concerning Christians, first he says, in verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, have you a new and genuine mind? Over to verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So I imagine Peter considered himself in that group also, and he suffered as a Christian.
Who was? Who's the thought, Ron? Thank you very much.
Verse 16.
Okay. Peter 4:16.
Peter had a big change in his life after Jesus died on the cross and everything. At first, Peter was very afraid.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't witness or was probably in the car. And he had a big change in his life. And that's probably when he got saved.
He became bold at Pentecost because the Holy Spirit came and indwelt him. The Holy Spirit came, and when the Holy Spirit indwells us, it gives us the courage to be bold. And people lived in the Old Testament and were saved, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling them.
You said they were saved in the Old Testament?
Yes, they were saved.
Oh,
now, some of us
I'm
not sure if it's proper to call the people in the Old Testament
Since
Satan is not God, he can only be in one place at once.
So
apparently he was eavesdropping on this conversation, and it's possible that he was spending a long time eavesdropping on the conversations that Christ was having with his disciples.
Uh-huh.
Now, which reminded me of how in John, I'm not sure if it's in John. Well, it says that Satan entered in. Wait, hang on, let me find it.
John 14, 15, 16? 13 of John entered into Satan, into Judas? 13, right? Is it a little Bible?
Okay. Yes, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. And then down further, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night.
Uh-huh.
So then Satan was eavesdropping on the upper room conversation.
In that case, Satan didn't enter Judas. Yvonne had something?
No, I didn't have anything.
Let's push our way up forward now to Acts 11, when they were called first Christians at Antioch. Can saved born again Christians today be indwelled by Satan?
No.
Do some people all agree with that?
No.
They don't all agree with it. What is that section of theology called, talking about Satan? What's the big word for it?
Satanology.
Or it's all under angelology. It's subdivided into Satanology. The Satan or the angel. Angelology is Satanology. Now,
what's the difference of demonology?
Well, demonology part of Satanology, sort of a subdivision of demonology and Satanology.
It has to do with Satan's followers.
Right, now, what did Dr. from Dallas first write in his book, Dr. Unger? What did he first write about Christians being indwelled? What did he first write in his first book? Couldn't be. How did he change it later? Change it to could be. So Dr. Unger, one of my teachers at Dallas Theological Seminary, lawful on this thing. First he said we cannot be indwelled. Then he changed it. He said Christians cannot be indwelled by Satan. How is it possible? What does it say in 1 John? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What does he mean by that?
The
Holy Spirit, greater. Can Satan and the Holy Spirit dwell in the same body?
No. Can
Satan push out the Holy Spirit? How do you know he can't push out the Holy Spirit?
He was stronger than you.
And can you lose your salvation?
No.
So what you're saying, so if the Holy Spirit comes in you and you're saved, born again, does he stay with you always or can you leave? Can he stay with you always or can he leave?
He's always
there with you. If he leaves, can you be saved if he's gone? If the Holy Spirit's gone, can you be saved? He doesn't, but if he could leave, would you be saved?
Well,
no, you wouldn't be saved, see? So it's impossible for the Holy Spirit of God to leave if you have saved for eternity.
But you can grieve him.
Oh, yes, you can grieve
him.
Push
him down in your life.
We had a man, yes, Anna, go ahead.
Well, someone, a pastor, once said that, like, sometimes people don't, like, when people, like, they don't let the Holy Spirit fill their lives, but he's still there in us, even though we're not filled by the Spirit. And it's kind of, he was comparing it to, like, having a guest over and, like, having them, like, just having them in a closet. And they're still there, but they don't exactly have pearl rain over your house.
They don't rain over the house. That's good. That's good. So, yeah, Dick.
A couple of things. The Christians were first called, or the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
That was a derogatory term.
Yes.
The word Christian.
That's right. Christianus.
But the other point is that there's no record that I know of from the Apostle Paul on, or even from Pentecost on, of anyone being said that they were dwelt by the demons, that they were devil possessed or demon possessed.
Yeah.
I don't know of any. All from that point on through the rest of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
The question here is what are the 3 days and 3 nights and did Jesus rise from the dead on the first day of the week, which is Sunday?
Asked by whom?
We don't know. There's no name.
No name. Okay. We covered that in our testimony in chapter 16. And what did we conclude? What did the quotation say? As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights, what? In
the
whale's belly. So the Son of Man should be 3 days and 3 nights. Where?
In the heart of the earth.
So the question he's asking is, where were the 3 days and 3 nights? What did we conclude when we discussed that?
Well, I guess it'd be Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
Saturday.
Crucifixion was what?
Wednesday.
So 12 noon to 3 and 6 o'clock. When did the Jewish Thursday begin?
At
sundown 6 p.m. roughly, it's Thursday. So all day Thursday is the first day. All day Friday is the second day. All day Saturday is the third day. When does the Sunday begin?
6 p.m., I guess.
6 a.m. 6 p.m. on Saturday would be Sunday. So anytime after 6 p.m.
But it was in the morning when they...
They found him in the morning, but after 6 p.m. anytime was still Sunday.
Yeah, gotcha.
So he was raised again on Sunday, the Lord's Day. So there's the answer to the question. All day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and raised again at anytime after 6 p.m. on Saturday night would be Sunday, the first day of the month.
Right. To prove that, in the scriptures say, in the end of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Sabbath was Saturday, day. Mm-hmm. So, as you were just saying, it would be in the end of this after 6 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes, that's very good.
And the fact that the women found the stone rolled away, they didn't have to roll that stone away to get Christ out of the tomb.
Right.
He just
pulled the altar
and disappeared.
Exactly.
And the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away by an angel. That's right. I'm sorry.
Afterwards,
yeah,
the angel,
they came. The angel rolled the stone away, and the guards were found as dead men.
Mm-hmm.
I know because we used to sing that in an anthem in choir when I had my Baptist.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you remember, Dick. Who was the choir director?
I don't know. Some guy.
Okay. Name Richard Carroll. Okay. Anna.
So it's very interesting because the soldiers were supposed to say they fell asleep. Now, under Roman times, what would have been the penalty if they had actually fallen asleep?
Yeah.
Right. So obviously, they didn't fall asleep, and they would have admitted to falling asleep if they had fallen asleep.
And if they'd fallen asleep, could they have said the disciples came and stole the body?
Right.
If they'd fallen asleep, they couldn't have seen it. Yeah. Any other comment? Yeah. And?
No, I'm just scratching.
Good. I'll show that one. So, We're going to stop right here at this verse, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close? We have lots of different discussion on different things. All right, if not, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you we can discuss these matters. Help us not to be as Peter, that would ever rebuke thee and or the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Though things come and we don't understand them, help us, Lord, to say, Lord, thy will be done. Help me to understand my circumstances. Help me to understand what's happening to me. But never rebuking thee, Lord. Thou dost know the way that we take. So help us, protect us. Give us good service on the Lord's day. Guide us, direct us, those that are here. And thank thee for this opportunity to study thy word again about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sorry that the scribes and Pharisees were there to crucify him in Jerusalem. We're glad, though, that he rose again the third day. Guide us and direct us and bless us and use us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.